Welcome to the Client Generation Podcast, a show where we interview some of the most successful people in real estate to help you understand how to generate leads, build a brand, and convert more clients in your business. What's up, everybody? Grant Wise here. Welcome to the Client Generation Podcast. Excited today to be interviewing Mr. Kyle Draper, who's the team leader of the Serene team in Los Angeles, California. Kyle, thanks for stopping by the show today.
Of course. Thanks for having me, brother.
Oh, man, I appreciate it. So for those of you that, or for people that maybe don't know who you are, give us the quick story. Who are you and how did you get to where you are today?
Sure. So my name's Kyle Draper, like you said, and I run a team of, we're four agents and three support currently, looking to take on new agents in the immediate future, actually. We kind of grew our team right around when COVID hit. I've been kind of branding myself as Serene Team for a while now, and you know, but it was kind of like I would maybe have an assistant for one period of time and then it would kind of fizzle out. My big issue up until pretty recently was focus, actually. I used to run a record label as well, and was very split between real estate and music. And so I'd kind of make money in real estate and then pump it into the record label. And after doing that for about a decade and getting audited because the finances were just so unbelievably ridiculous with all that, you know, I kind of decided to just really focus on real estate finally. And I always did well as a solo agent before, but, you know, I never really had the team. I never really had the system. So the last like year and a half, that's been a huge difference for us. And we just kind of like erupted during COVID. We closed 50 deals last year, which was basically like 3/4 of the year, really, because that first quarter, you know, is kind of on my own still. So yeah, the goal for next year is, or for 2021, I should say, is 100.
That's awesome. Yeah. What would you say? I get focus without question. I'm a huge proponent of focus. I get approached for new opportunities daily. Probably, I think for the last 2-ish years, maybe even 3 years, I've just been like Mr. No. Like, people know if they're going to bring me something, I'm going to appreciate it and be grateful for it, but I'm most likely going to say no, because I'm a huge proponent of protecting your energy and your attention. And I think most people underestimate how difficult it is to actually build a company, because there's a lot of parts, especially getting started. Aside from focus, what would you say was really, you know, the biggest contributor to how you were able to be so successful last year? I understand the market was kind of doing its own thing and that helped, but what positioned you all to be able to do the business volume like that?
Well, building the team for sure. And I think where a lot of agents kind of get team building a little screwed up is, you know, they think that they want to just immediately replicate themselves, which basically means hiring another salesperson. But that's really not the bottleneck. You know, the bottleneck is the need for your admin. Mm-hmm. And, you know, financially, when you take on another salesperson, that's easy, quote unquote, because you're just cutting a commission up. Whereas the admin, that's probably more of like a salaried position. There's more out of pocket costs. And so so I get why some people sometimes are reticent to really go there. But that's absolutely step number one. You know, it was actually a workshop in Denver with you.
That's right. Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Where, you know, there was this kind of like ideal day, that exercise that we did, you know, where you really just map out like, okay, in a perfect day, like what activities am I doing? What does that look like? And then I'm not sure if I got this from you or a different coach, but you know, another exercise where you basically spend a day just working, but you have your alarm on your phone going off like every 15 minutes, basically. Mm. And then, you know, you kind of just jot down, not analyzing what you did, but you just jot down like every little thing that you did for the last 15 minutes and then just keep doing that throughout the day. And then at the end of the day, you kind of go through and analyze and you'll see like, you know, you'll kind of color code for the like high level agent stuff. So, you know, like thinking of the next innovative campaign, you know, listing appointments, you know, conversions, maybe negotiating, like that kind of higher level stuff would be one color. And then all the kind of more you know, admin wage level stuff is the other. And you just kind of see, oh my goodness, like spending a whole lot of time on stuff that isn't really the stuff that is my skill set that makes me kind of, you know, unique and, you know, what makes me good at my job. So, you know, those kind of two exercises, just like, boy, you know, that really, really kind of helps understand the need for the assistant. It also helps understanding just what kind of stuff you're going to delegate to your assistant. Because I've had this a few times where you're, you know, it's kind of the night before the first day with your new hire. And then you're just thinking like, okay, so we're going to go to the office, we're going to sit down next to each other, and then what the hell's going to happen? You know? So just kind of figuring out, you know, seeing, okay, like what you should be doing, what you shouldn't be doing. And then I think an area that other people underestimate is like how important it is that you really do have your systems in place. Yeah. Your admin can kind of help.
Before you hire, yeah.
You need to have them, like, I mean, you should have them on paper or in video form for sure. But I think some people get it wrong. And, you know, if they're just an agent who's kind of all over and organization isn't their skill set, they think that the admin, you hire the admin and then they just like build the systems for you. But it's like, no, you understand like the ins and outs of your business. You can work hand in hand with your admin to help kind of get those on paper. But that's been huge for us, is like we're just fully systematized now. Everything has checklists, and that's enabled us to leverage more like VA help, virtual assistant help. We've got this great dude, his name's Ronnie. He's in the Philippines. He starts working for us at 1 p.m. our time, which I think is 4 a.m. his time. And then, you know, puts in his like 10-hour day, and he does all of our scheduling now. And especially with coronavirus in California, at least there's a COVID waiver that every single showing has to get signed for. It's not like you work with a client, they sign it once and then you're good. It has to be signed every single showing. So just the amount of like admin procedural stuff, getting just scheduling showings, I mean, that's like, you know, so much work. And before we hired him, our like full-time admin was just absolutely overloaded, and we were pushing her too hard and she was approaching burnout. And so it was like, oh my goodness, like you need help. And thank God we have our systems in place where we're able to bring people on and like train them very quickly and give them this playbook. Because without those systems, you really can't scale.
When you get the systems in place and you get the admin in place, what did this open up for you? I mean, walk me through that. I obviously, it seems like a loaded question, but I'm curious from your perspective. It's like, okay, now I've got this portion of all my time back.
Yeah.
What did that open up for you? Did you just go kick it, or like, did you start focusing on other things?
Yeah, well, it's a cliche, but it allowed me to focus like on the business instead of in the business. You know, yeah. I was less of a cog in the machine, just like running around, you know, from appointment to appointment, just with this endless list of to-dos. And yeah, that still is like kind of my lifestyle to a degree. I mean, I'm hoping that it gets a little moving on, but there's a lot of time that I spend, you know, on just kind of like looking at what campaigns are working and what are not working. That was a big mistake I made early on in my career, is I would just kind of like see that some campaign worked for some agent. And, you know, then it's like, okay, well, I just need to like commit to that, because if they're doing it and it's working, then it should work for me. And that was a pretty big mistake, because especially in my market, like for example, traditional just Facebook ads in my market, they just don't work very well. They just don't. I think Los Angeles is just a little oversaturated from the kind of, you know, I'm going to give you something of value in exchange for your contact information. Yeah. And we were running those campaigns for years, really. And, you know, the leads that we would get would be at price points that we didn't really want to work, maybe more on the outskirts, less like kind of the prime time markets that we're trying to find success in. And so, you know, just really analyzing campaigns better. And if something's not working, we need to pivot. And, you know, just because something works for somebody else, maybe in a different market, that doesn't mean it's going to work for my market or my ideal clientele. And that's another big thing I got from you at that Denver workshop a few years ago, was the I forget what you called it, but it's basically like your client avatar, like who
client avatar,
you,
yeah.
we got so granular with it, you know. It's like, you know, do they go to music festivals? Like, what kind of car do they drive? Like, you know, where do they lean politically? Like, you know, how religious are they? How, what level of education do they have? So getting that specific on it was just like so cool. And that really was liberating for me, because before I kind of understood that my marketing needs to be really narrow and targeted to that like very specific person, I was pretty vanilla just with my overall presentation. I think I was just worried that if I was too kind of like slanted one way or the other, that I might, you know, lose business. Maybe that like 65-year-old like retiring person isn't gonna hire me to sell their house. Well, you know, that 65-year-old is, I'm probably pretty, you know, far out on their list anyway of like people that they're in touch with to sell their house. So I was so worried about losing potential business that wasn't mine to begin with, probably, that I wasn't as like kind of cutting and interesting with my marketing. Yep. And just showing my personality more. I was kind of like muting it to be this like realtor business person. But, you know, the reality for me is like, you know, our bread and butter are first time home buyers that are like very educated. They probably have some, maybe they work in the arts or they're just very passionate about the arts, but this kind of like, you know, kind of like cool, hip, like young first time home buyer, that is just our bread and butter, like all day, all day. And so, you know, just like presenting ourselves to be attractive to them rather than to be attractive to everybody, it's just worked so much better. And, you know, that doesn't mean that you're still not going to attract business from people outside of that like client avatar. I actually think you're going to do better, you know, even with the people outside, because your message is going to be just more interesting and cutting rather than, you know, just the standard, like, hey, you know, do you know anyone looking to buy or sell real estate? Like, I'll give you a CMA, you know? So that was another really, really big thing I got from you, actually, which I greatly appreciate, man.
Well, no, that's awesome. Well, I think that, you know, there's definitely those more affluent markets like LA where it's not so transactional. It's much more relational. Mm-hmm. And when you, what I hear you saying at least is, you know, hey, just like generating leads wasn't it for us. We had to go focus on building a brand and really get into the nitty gritty, understanding who we actually wanted to work with. And then when we understood that, we could start actually creating content or putting stuff out there, however, whatever our distribution is going to be, like relevant to what we want and relevant to who we are. And then that's going to help us attract the opportunities that we actually ultimately really probably want, versus maybe like the 65-year-old, like you said, that's not necessarily the ideal customer. When you really can zero in on who it is you want to work with, how much easier did it make it from like a content creation standpoint, or what was your distribution like once you figured out who you wanted to work with tactically? Like, how did you go into the market and start branding yourself? Was it with video, or was it with Instagram, or was it with direct mail? Like, how did you do that?
Yeah, we do a lot of video. And like, I'm not afraid, like, you know, maybe I'll use some foul language in my social media stuff. Mm-hmm. I've ran ads, you know, where just like a little more like loose. And I mean, everyone does this now, but I remember years ago, I feel like I was one of the like earlier realtors to like start throwing like a lot of emojis and like the advertisements and stuff like that. You know, now it's super common, but yeah, you know, just things like that. And, you know, it's crazy because I know that so many people hate this type of like paid lead form, but like we kind of pivoted over to Zillow, and we've just been crushing it on Zillow. And it, you know, it's really interesting because that just is where my clients are. They're on Zillow. You know, they're not the type of buyer. And again, I think the LA market is it plays a huge role in this, but where, you know, I'm able to disrupt them on Facebook and, you know, they kind of just go along for the ride. Like, with the Zillow, the leads are a lot more expensive, but like the people are on the site looking at homes. And yeah, especially with COVID, there's no open houses, at least in California. And so that was just a goldmine in COVID because, you know, these kind of younger millennial first time home buyers who quite frankly, they don't really like developing relationships with salespeople that early on in the process. So if it were up to them, they would just kind of open house hop, you know, go from open house to open house. and not really develop that relationship. Well, in COVID with no open houses, there's a tremendous value to like being that like face and name that shows up when they want to learn more information about, about a property. And then, but that's where most people get it wrong, is thinking that like you do business based on like, okay, this client's interested in this particular house, you know, we're going to try to show it. And then if they don't write an offer on that house, a lot of people just lose the relationship, or, you know, they don't have their long-term like drip nurture campaigns. And that's where like I've helped a lot of other agents, because, you know, like people in my company, for example, they've seen like, oh wow, like you're doing really well on Zillow. Like I've tried it before. It's not really working for me. And, you know, and this is with any campaign, but like you have to have your ability to nurture. And that's been a big kind of system that, our team has in place, where basically like any, and we do a lot of different online stuff as well. We're part of like a Dave Ramsey realtor referral program. We do a bunch of stuff. And so my role as the team leader is basically like, you know, I'm the generator of leads, basically. Like I'm the one who's like answering the Zillow calls for the most part, working on training to get people kind of at that level so I can kind of graduate to the next step. But right now it's like, I'm kind of the main point of contact, like the initial lead converter. And then my role is to like assign it to an agent on my team, but I'm always going to be a part of it. So it's always like me and like this agent, or me and this agent, or me and this agent. And that has been awesome for me, because then like, you know, a lot of the then follow up moving forward is placed on the other agent. And we do a weekly run through with me, like one-on-one with every agent on the team, a weekly run through of every single lead that we have, basically. And, you know, we have our kind of systems to go through it, like, you know, a little quicker. Like if somebody's, you know, we're not supposed to respond to them for months and months, we won't talk about them. We have a way we kind of go through that. But that way, nothing falls through the cracks. That was a huge problem for me as a solo agent, is I'd have these amazing, you know, phone calls with people, but as we all know, it's really rare that that initial point of contact, they're like ready to buy right then and there. Yeah. So your ability to nurture and have the systems in place for things not to fall through the cracks, that's the big kind of game changer. And for us, like I was saying, we do so much with first-time home buyers that the nurture game there is just education, we found. We've got a really good kind of like 25-minute YouTube video that, you know, it's me kind of basically going through the whole journey of for a home buyer, you know, start to finish, but in pretty good detail. And then we have a PDF that kind of goes through the same, you know, everyone kind of has their different styles of learning. And that's just one of the just first things, you know, after we have that good conversation, we're sending them that stuff and just continually just trying to like educate them, because for them to have the confidence to go through this, if they're educated and understand what's coming, you know, that kind of consumer confidence is built a lot quicker. So that's kind of just been our system for a lot of the first time home buyer stuff we're doing.
No, I love it, man. Well, one of the things that I heard, I think throughout that is that you in knowing who your customer is, you got to know where they are. Mm-hmm. If you're going to go out there and really, you know, get attention the right way. And that's something that I get asked nonstop traveling and speaking, you know, where should I be marketing my business? And the answer is always wherever your customer is. Like that's where you should be marketing your business, because that's where the opportunities are. It doesn't matter if it's right. Zillow or if it's LinkedIn or if it's YouTube or if it's Reddit right. or like a Facebook Marketplace, like whatever that is. First step, you got to know who your customer is. Second step, you got to know where they are so you can know where to go. And mm-hmm. then having a great sales process that you just described, you know, lead comes in, we have this type of systematic interaction and we nurture them this way, we educate them this way. I think that those are all really important check boxes that agents must have a great sales process. Because if you're not converting, I think industry average right now, at least for Facebook leads, for conversion is 0.8%. And a big reason is because most of those people don't have a very well-defined sales process and a way that they handle those leads and handle that business. Man, this has been a great conversation. Like I said, I just wanted to have a casual conversation to hear about what you guys are doing to be really successful. I'm pumped for you. I remember connecting with you in Denver very briefly. We didn't get to talk a whole lot, but to see where you are now is pretty incredible. So it's awesome to connect again. And I really appreciate you stopping by and sharing some value sure. with the listeners. What's the number one way that somebody could connect with you if they want to learn more about you?
Instagram's probably best. My handle is at the Kyle Draper. And yeah, that'd probably be the best, you know, follow, shoot a DM, would love to connect.
I love it. Guys, thank you so much for continuing to listen to the Client Generation Podcast. Make sure you screenshot this episode, tag us at the Kyle Draper, at Like Grant Wise in your stories. Let us know what your favorite part of today's episode was. We appreciate you a ton, and we'll see you on the next episode. Peace. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Client Generation Podcast. Please make sure that you rate and review this episode so that we can continue to bring you more incredible guests to help you grow your business. Thanks, and have an amazing day.